Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to our St. Patrick's Day weekend review. Myself and Rory are joined by Ryan McCluskey for the football and Shane McGrath a little bit later on for the hurling. First of all, Ryan, how was your Paddy's weekend? Parades, matches, a bit of everything?
Yeah, a bit of everything. So brilliant sporting weekend. And just nice to get back into the normality on after the extended weekend.
Yeah, same for you, Rory. It was like a sporting bonanza, wasn't it?
It was brilliant, in fairness. The Saturdays, especially, it was almost hard to keep track because, obviously, you were very busy yourself, I'd imagine. Italy, Wales first, and then you were back on for France, England later, and that was an incredible game of rugby,
that's
by
mental.
The way. It was what a game. And then, obviously, Ireland, Scotland in between. There's bits of Cheltenham kind of drifting into the weekend. You had hurling and football double header on RT, Galway Limerick followed by Galway Dublin. It was just, you know, obviously Liverpool Manchester United yesterday. It was hard to kind of, you nearly want a full time job on the couch, you know, booking in your slots. And
I'm sure plenty of people had that for the weekend anyway. Yeah. You can be sure of it. Well, let's get stuck into the football then, because plenty of headlines from this as well. I mean, I can't believe we're saying it, but Monaghan finally relegated after 10 years with that defeat to Tyrone. And no better place to start than that one, Ryan, because I think we could probably see it coming, but none of us could believe that they were going to finally be relegated. But I think the results probably don't lie in the end. They kind of had to go, didn't they?
Yeah, and I suppose we must start off by commending them for, you know, their tenure over the last, 10, 11 years in Division One. They've been absolutely exceptional. And you know, for their population, the amount of clubs, obviously, in Monaghan as well, it's massive, obviously, for them as well and what they've done. Although they'll probably not thank me for, I suppose, giving them a pat on the back, you know, now. They nearly survived again, you know, if you watch the game, nearly put themselves in a position to survive again leading into the last game. So it was, again, one of those games of football that had a lot of, I suppose, errors in the game, but you know, some of the class on the pitch that night, if you look at Conor McManus, was showing elements of what he can do, what he has done, you know, for years. We knew Rory Beggan's a massive loss in Nets for Monaghan, and has been all season as well. But you know, they nearly got something out of the game as well. And you know what, I think it'd be, I suppose, unfair when we're talking about Monaghan and young Niall Devlin as well in that game, you know, for Tyrone, you know, for him to have the mentality to play after losing his brother the week before. You know, it was unbelievable. And it was, listen, it was a credit to both sides, and Monaghan surely went down fighting. And listen, you know, I'm sure they'll regather, and they'll look forward to the championship now in the next number of weeks.
Ryan, can I ask you one quick question?
Yeah.
You've obviously played in Healy Park quite a bit over the course of your career. Is it always in the state?
It hasn't been one of the better services, and unfortunately Brewster Park is the same, our own ground at the moment. You know, whether that has been maybe a negligence, so, you know, over the last number of years, or maybe just an overuse on the county pitches as well. But it's starting to be the case in a lot of top county grounds as well, whether it's because a lot of them are in town areas as well, and they could be on maybe boglands, you know, as well. So,
but weather has been brutal as well, though, lads.
It was shocking Saturday, no.
We need to create more domes. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. You know? Got John Prenti on the case.
Escape artists, listen, unfortunately went down to Healy Park as they were named last week. And you know, unfortunately, they didn't come up with the goods. But, you know, again, I have to commend them and the job Vinnie Corey has done over the last couple of seasons. Because let's face it, there was a case there where nobody really wanted that Monaghan job. And he stepped in, you know, and made them very competitive. And, you know, after a good start to that campaign, Division One campaign this year, unfortunately, they have just slipped up at the end.
Mm. Do you know what, Rory? You were making the case a few weeks ago that it wouldn't be the worst thing, because I think there's big buy-in from Vinny. I think people can see he's going the right direction. It doesn't mean that they'll have a difficult championship either, because as we've seen from Monaghan, they can flip this coin very, very quickly. And who knows what's going to happen with some of their players coming back and whatnot. But I do think that if he can say, look, we know where we're going for next year, let's worry about that next year, let's just build on this, let's just keep going. And maybe next year they use the chance to find a few more and get a few more of those young players that they've seen introduced. It might not be the worst thing either.
No, and I think the trick, I firmly believe that from Monaghan's perspective, I think it definitely did mean more from Tyrone if Tyrone were somehow managed to get dragged into it, because I think they're probably at a different stage of their evolution. He's got to replenish the team. Conor McManus must be, what, 35 or 30? He's certainly 35, 36, yeah. And it's the leadership that goes. It's the experience. It's the know-how. All of that takes time. We've seen it before with teams like Mayo, where, you know, in the space of a very short period of time, 8, 9, 10 of your mainstays just disappear out of the team. And it can really, you know, knock a team for six in terms of stealing their identity and just in terms of the resolve and the leadership that exits out the dressing room door. Happened to Cork, I think, in 2012, 2013, haven't probably recovered since and still stuck in Division 2. That's probably the key for Monaghan. I think, though, they need to park it now. They've got, obviously, a little bit of a free hit this weekend. May as well go out and enjoy it. Give lads game time. It means nothing now. It's effectively a glorified challenge match, which I think is a symptom of the league in a more general sense. But we won't talk about that maybe just yet. But I think that's the thing now, is prepare for the Ulster Championship. They know they're going to be in the Sam Maguire. So there's two very good competitions still for them to play for. They were All-Ireland semi-finalists last year. That form won't have disappeared overnight. It's just about trying to recapture it now and try and blood in a few new players at the same time. And I think Division 2 will be a good place for them to do that. And I'd give them every chance of jumping straight back up again.
Yeah, look, I think we probably need to give Tyrone a bit of credit as well, because Ryan, you're right. I think knowing that they could have been dragged into the dogfight, and it has been a really up and down season for them, and to be able to perform given the emotion that would have been around the occasion and everything you mentioned there as well, I think they deserve enormous credit for the performance that they put in at the weekend.
Yeah, and it's probably just, and I know we are mentioning, Niall's unfortunate, incident as well, but they've lost Fergal Logan as well in the middle of the year, and they have had a tough year on and off the pitch. So I think it has been a credit to that group of players that they have showed that resilience at the weekend to come through. Like they knew it was going to be a battle against Monaghan. They knew that it was going to be a real slog in those conditions as well. So it's been a credit to them that they're now going into the last game, and they still obviously have to fight for their position as well in Division 1. As Rory alluded to, I think we'll talk about the problems that have been encountered, maybe, with the last games and maybe the meaningless games that maybe are going to happen this weekend.
Yeah.
And Jackie, the thing with Tyrone, one of the things I love about, they're great to watch, actually. A very, very good side to watch. They're, Tyrone, I know they get prickly, because sometimes that fantastic team that they had in the noughties, sometimes people disparage them by saying, abusing certain monikers. They were a brilliant side as well, played incredible football. But this team, I think, are obviously not at that level, but really like, and when you see the likes of Cathal McShane coming back into the side, when you see Matty Donnelly coming back in, you've got the double Ds up front in Dara and Darren. You have Kieran McGeary, who's a former footballer of the year, starting to find a little bit of form, if he can find a little bit more. Yeah, Tyrone will, once this league finishes next weekend, I think Tyrone will say to themselves, we've a lot to play for here.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. I definitely think they've shown us in the last couple of weeks that maybe there is a path back to the top of football for them. What about Roscommon then? Because again, Ryan, they're probably like Monaghan in a way that we had flagged that they were on the brink for a couple of weeks. 6-point defeat again against Kerry at the weekend. They're certainly on the brink. And Davy Burke saying afterwards, his comments I found interesting, and he's saying, look, all of these difficulties are actually going to be good for us, that all of this is helping us. But I still think there has to be a confidence dint in all of these defeats that they're taking.
Yeah, they would have to be leading into the championship campaign. And we did actually call this last week in terms of Kerry bounce back, that after that Dublin kind of massacre in Croke Park, that they would go with their bit between their teeth to Roscommon and try and get a result. And obviously that's what happened. I know there was a bit of a fight back, I think, from Roscommon in the second half. However, you know, that the 6 points was quite a drubbing. It probably could have been more, and maybe should have been more as well. And again, you would worry about their campaign and what will lead into the summer for us coming as well. We just thought last week, you know, there's something flat again, just a bit like Kildare. There's just something not right. But listen, we've talked about this kind of mini break. It's not much of a break, albeit between league and championship, and you don't get much of a turnaround before the condensed season. You had a bit of time to play with. You had nearly a mini pre-season where you could maybe revamp things and, I suppose, get the show back on the road more than anything else. But teams don't really have the chance to do that now. You know, you could get a chance to maybe go away on a training camp as well, and sometimes teams don't have that luxury now. So, you know, for us common, maybe there's things going on that we don't know about as well. And maybe they're just fueling up for that summer campaign. But usually, you know, a sustained and decent league campaign will stand you in good stead then for that championship as well season. So yeah, it's interesting times on Roscommon, and we know we talked about that lovely bus. You know, it's going to be traveling a bit more next year, you know.
It's a gorgeous bus.
It's a fabulous bus, to be fair. Not that they'll want us to be talking about that rather than the football. Yeah. The other thing he said, Rory, afterwards was about Ben O'Carroll. Obviously, he's not going to be back for that final game, but they will be hoping to get him back for a championship in a couple of weeks' time. But, you know, he talked about just maybe the overuse of him, that everybody wants a piece of him, which is totally understandable. Obviously, he had a great Sigerson campaign, playing with Bridgets as well for a very long time in an All-Ireland club series, and then Roscommon. What do you do if you're in his position? Like, Davy Burke is saying, look, everybody wants him and it's very hard for us. But Ben O'Carroll is not a young fellow who's going to say no to any of those teams because they're all performing at the very highest level.
Exactly, Jackie. Welcome to elite football. I you'd have a massive amount of sympathy for Ben from being pulled from pillar to post. I think that's an unfortunate byproduct of being a really good player. And that's just, it's I would imagine when David Clifford was coming up through the ranks, I mean, he's playing with Fossa, he's playing with East Kerry, he was probably playing underage football with Kerry, he was probably playing senior football, he was probably playing underage
soccer.
he was probably playing underage and senior football for club and county at different stages. I mean, I always remember a famous story actually that Brian Corcoran told. Now, this is obviously pre backdoor, and it's pre round robin, and it's pre all of that, right? But Brian Corcoran, at the time, you were allowed to play minor and under 21 and senior at the same time. And Corcoran was playing minor, under 21 and senior with Cork in hurling and football and with his club and with his division. And he was attached to something like 13 or 14 teams. So as he said, was it any wonder that I retired prematurely and initially at 28? But that's what happens with elite players. I think Ben O'Carroll, from Davy's perspective, that's just like every manager is going to have that, and every team is going to have that with their class players who are going to be tied in, whether it's Fitzgibbon or Sigerson. I think the biggest problem from Roscommon's point of view, from what I've seen, certainly yesterday again, and the Smith's form has fallen off a little bit from the incredibly stellar, consistently stellar performances that he gave last year. That'll return. I think come championship, he'll be fine. I think Brian Stack at the back is somebody that I have huge time for. And I don't know if he has had his best league campaign. And I think when you take your two main linchpins in defence and attack, and their form isn't as good as it normally is, I think you marry that with this kind of a stop-start nature to preparation, lads being involved in Sigerson, and some of your marquee players being pulled from pillar to post in terms of commitments elsewhere. I think that's made it difficult for Davy. But, you know, look, I think they're all legitimate. He's got, again, no different to, I think they're going down. I think there's a weird quirk of events now that would be required for them to stay up, which will involve them having to beat Derry and Galway losing to Kerry in Killarney, you know, so that doesn't happen all that often. Galway's still down players. So look, I think they're going down. But again, you know, look, the despondency around the league and any relegation, certainly from Division 1, I think should be taken with a major pinch of salt.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. And I do think on Kerry, Ryan, just to see them bounce back, I think we all said we were going to get it. Apart from that bad looking injury to Jason Foley, I think Jack O'Connor will be pretty pleased with what he saw.
Yeah, I think he'd be happy with the turnaround from the Dublin game. Again, listen, it's that kind of stage of the season where they will prepare probably in the right way. They probably will get a chance to get away on some type of training camp. Again, when you go into that provincial series, as we know, they're probably looking at winning that again. And moving on then to obviously the summer. So for him, I know at the start it was a mixed kind of bag and getting players back. I know he rested a number of players in the first number of games. Again, I think we were giving off about him resting some of the players and the amount of games that they may have played as well. So we're kind of back to that argument as well. But I think he'll be happy and he'll look forward to the next number of weeks and their preparations for the Munster Championship.
Mm. At the other end of it, right? Always watching the Dubs playing against Galway, thought they were probably going to have a continued trajectory going one way, Rory, where Dublin definitely look like they're chasing it now. Same with Derry. I think for everybody, there's no question that they have been the best two teams in the league, and it looks like we're going to have a league final between them. I just wonder what kind of a league final we're going to get between them. That's the big thing.
I think it'll be interesting to see what Derry do. Mickey Hart likes to win things. We know that. I mean, I don't know how many McKenna Cups he won. So the chances are, I think Derry will be in the league final. It would take, a really strange quirk of events and scoring averages for them to miss out. So I think they're there with 10 points. And they probably will win at the weekend at home to Roscommon. So like that should absolutely guarantee them. And Dublin should follow. Now, Dublin's perspective, the reality for them is until the round robin stages of the Sam Maguire, which isn't likely to happen until the end of May. So this league final will take place on the 7th of April or maybe a little bit earlier. I can't remember. Is it the 1st? Maybe the 1st. Yeah, it's the following week. That's right. So they will have maybe 6 weeks of, let's be honest, non-competitive football. They're going to waltz their way through Leinster, which is, again, frightening vista, again, given the size of the province. But so why not? Like, Desi, I don't think Desi Farrell has a league title on his managerial CV, a Division 1 league title, that is. Some new players coming through that probably don't have that medal. Killian McGuinness, exceptional on Saturday, a really good find, even though he's been around the panel for a few years. I think they'll go for it. I think they will. I think Dublin will go for it. And I think the worry then from Derry's perspective is if you don't, well, it could be a long day in Croke Park when you're facing that kind of a machine.
Yeah. Well, I just thought Peter Canavan's points were interesting on his RTE column, saying that if you just handed out the trophy to the league winners, a la Premier League, you know, where you win, you've been the best team most consistently, give them the trophy and then move on, then you wouldn't have these irrelevant matches on the final round where people already know they're gone. Or you might have a Dublin where you're tipping into a game against Tyrone knowing, yeah, we can get the bare minimum out of this and we can be in a league final and then go again. And I do think, Ryan, maybe he has a point there. You know, I know trophies are there to be won on a day and everybody loves to celebrate finals and it's a great day out for families, but maybe Peter Canavan has a point.
Listen, Yeah, he does have a point. I was chatting to a Cavan man who gave me a bit of wise information over the weekend, and it's not often a Cavan man actually would give you a bit of information. Yeah. He knows who he is. Hopefully he's listening.
Was it to do with finance?
It wasn't financial. But actually, he's very big on saying, you know, it's all well and good, you know, saying something, but you have to back it up with maybe, what can we do? So Peter's absolutely right, but I suppose the question is then, what can we do then if that is the case? And probably, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're giving out a trophy at the end of the year, maybe for your league winners or, you know, I understand where Peter's coming from as well. And I know that Tyrone have Dublin this weekend, so maybe that had something to do with it. if you think about that tie as well. But offer solutions was the Cavan man's, you know, words as well. So I would like to hear what Peter says in terms of what can we do. You know, I know you're looking at maybe the league, and you could probably go one further, and this is where we bring the arguments in about the provincial series. Then if we were to scrap the provincial series, then every position then would make sense, you know, where you probably would go into a seeding system from a league campaign. into some type of championship knockout. But until I suppose we address those matters, it isn't going to happen. But I do listen, I understand where he's coming from. And yeah, it goes back to these meaningless games, maybe at the end of the year, where sides will just throw out, maybe dud sides, give players a run out. And it may affect, you know, teams coming up and down, and none more so, I suppose. Yeah, I looked at Division 2, and we have, unfortunately, our own Fermanagh playing Cavan at the weekend, and it goes back to my Cavan man, and hopefully they're going to give us maybe a victory at the weekend, which will possibly give us a chance to stay up. However, Kildare are playing Louth, so with Kildare being down, you know, God knows what's going to happen. Are Kildare actually going to play anybody at the weekend? So, you know, that could condemn us anyway.
Yeah. You know. I think the problem is twofold. To me, one is, yeah, that there are meaningless matches for that reason. The other is just, not to open up the whole can of worms again, but like some of the pitches and all that at the weekend, Rory, as well. Like, it's just, I feel like we're constantly fighting the same fights, where you're going to look later in the summer, all these magnificent pitches, totally empty. And then you're playing at the start of the year, and like the weather for the last 6 weeks in particular has been absolutely brutal. If you're telling me that those games would not have been better 2 weeks later, where look out the window now, you know, and just what we're facing into now, it's like a completely different season out there. So look, I'm not going to harp on about it, but the problem is not just one small issue.
Well, it is, exactly. And I think that's a very good point, actually, insofar as, well, the GAA have pretty much decided to vacate. Like, the summer used to be the intercounty season. That was the summer. That was the championship, which the GAA pretty much vacated the summer now. I mean, the reality is most of your intercounty action is over by kind of the second, third week of June. You know, like, you're into your knockout stages at the end. There's only a cup, you know, it's a much, much smaller schedule of games from there on. So I think that's one part of it. I think the other issue is, it's not really a league when you play four matches at home and three away, or vice versa. I think if you're going to truly go to a proper league where you're going to award a trophy on the basis of the basis of how you finish up at the end of it, I think you either have to move to a 9-team or a 7-team league, and you just play an equal number of matches away from home and at home, so that everybody is on an equal curve. The other thing as well is, and look, again, I can be accused at times of, you know, criticizing the GAA for their obsession with money. Like, I was at the Division 1, Division 2 finals last year because, as I said before, Jackie, the son is a Dub now, so Dublin were playing Derry, so I had to bring him. But
half and half scarf, Ronan?
No, I will not do that, right? That is not happening. But the so we went, and it was 52 or 53,000, and multiply 52,000 by 20 euro, 25 euros, it's £1 million.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's fine. You're getting rid of the league finals. There's €1 million now that you're taking out of the budget. That's not chump change, like.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So all of these things, then you have your premium tickets. I don't know whether you're contracted to, where have you sold your premiums and your 10 years and your corporates on the basis of league finals being there. Like, it's not as simple as, let's just get rid of the league finals and everything is going to be solved.
And also, let's not forget, you're going to have Division 1 and a Division 2 league final doubleheader, which potentially, let's just say it's Dublin Derry and Donegal Armagh. Like, that is an unbelievable day out of
big
football.
Time. I'll go, you know, I'd be 100% at that as a neutral.
Yeah, just who knows what the teams are. But, you know, on paper, I'm excited about the prospect. So, yeah, look, it's challenging. And I don't proclaim to have all the answers to it. I get the frustrations of GAA people when I'm talking to them about meaningless games at this point of the year, to then have to wait so long for it all to kick back in again. But anyway, look, Division 2 then, Ryan, you mentioned Fermanagh and the pickle that they managed to find themselves in. I guess this was always going to be the case, wasn't it? Where you're going to have a bit of a scrap for your lives, maybe on the end of the way that the last couple of weeks have gone, I think you could have expected to be in this position.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I suppose we called it last weekend, you know, that Louth, we were expecting a bounce back from Jared Brennan's side at some stage. We probably didn't expect as much at the weekend, you know, to be beaten by, I think it was maybe 24 points that ended up in the end. Was, yeah, I kept actually just kind of flicking the phone over, didn't get watching the game. And yeah, unfortunately, just kept seeing the score going up and up and up. And yeah, it was Worrying, yeah, very worrying. And unfortunately, you know, having talked to a number of people then at the game and a couple of friends who were down, you know, it was easy pickings for Louth. It was really, really easy by all accounts. They just sat back and invited Fermanagh on and just counterattacked and kept catching for Fermanagh out. And Sam Mulroy, obviously, from the get-go, I think he kicked 2-5, I think, as well. And we know the exceptional talent he is. But, it was just the last game against Cavan, you know, and we don't know what way that's going to go, but we do know that our fortunes are going to be in the hands of others anyway. You know, that Kildare game is obviously the one we'll be keeping an eye on. And with Kildare's situation, who knows what side they're going to put out at the weekend, you know, and what's going to happen there as well. So it's not looking good, unfortunately, for ourselves. And yeah, it looks like we're going back down to Division 3, unfortunately.
Well, we know Kildare definitely are, which is significant, Rory. You know, I think, again, we've called this from a long way out. I think you had said there it was going to be one of the greatest miracle acts if they did manage to get out of it. They haven't now. And I guess now it's just for to see what do they do and what sort of a kick they can get, because whatever about this weekend, the Leinster Championship is going to be upon them very quickly, and they need to find a way to get the group back together to try to make a Leinster final to be playing Sam Maguire football.
It's very worrying, Jackie. I think it is stark for Kildare. And I tell you why I think it is, because the GA brought in some new rules around your league and championship and representation, insofar as that if you play inter-county championship now, you're ruled out from going to America. You can't play a championship in the States. And if you're looking at now, the flip side of it from a Kildare perspective is they're on the opposite side of the draw to Dublin. So they're going to be on the same side of the draw as Westmeath and Louth. On a given day, they could potentially win both of those games. But on a given day, they could easily be beaten as well, which then means that they're heading for Tailteann Cup football. So there's a big decision to be made by some of these Kildare players, whereby am I going to commit here to play in Tailteann Cup football, or this thing is after basically the arse is after falling out of it. I go to America for the summer, make a few quid, have a bit of a fun time for myself, come back, probably new management. You know, I think it's a really, really stark situation that Kildare are facing right now.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought about it in those frames, Ryan, because I was just really thinking more about what do they want out of this? You know, if you're a Kildare football player right now and you've been given your life to this for the last couple of years, even for some of the younger players who are coming in there, what are you genuinely thinking about where this team is going right now?
It actually nearly goes back to the point that you had said, Jackie, as well, about, you know, what are the GAA doing in terms of, you know, that kind of fixture and condensed season as well. And Rory, you know, alluded to it as well, that, you know, the time of year and the environment, you know, players want to go away in the summer because of the likes of, yeah, that situation that you've mentioned about, you know, Kildare and the Tailteann Cup as well. You know, what do you actually do? You know, it's probably something, again, we've talked about, you know, losing players to maybe other codes and other sports because of their season and the amount of games and the amount of games that they can play because of maybe their pitch and the use of their pitch and games not being called off. But like, players go away in the summer, and I was fortunate to get away myself twice over to Mac and Espy's, and it came at a stage where we could go away, but like, your clubs are then missing out on your key players, you know, by going away. And you're right about the Kildare players. You know, if they end up maybe thinking about, right, what are we going to do this summer? If it is, obviously a bit flat and things aren't happening, which it hasn't done the whole year, then there probably would be only one show in town, and that is to go away and get a couple of pounds, go and see the world and go and enjoy it. And then the next problem is, do they come back? Yeah. You know, we jobs here and we look at the prosperity probably more than anything else, and you're sitting going, well, what is there for me here? And you know, I do know a couple of lads in our own club obviously had went away last year, and you know, there may be chat of them doing it again, and especially with this new rule coming in. So the only way the GAA for me can maybe knock that in the head is by maybe having more games in the inter-county season. And I know years ago I actually put out, I think it was a tweet, and I tried to say about maybe combining both seasons. It was the club league season and the inter-county league season as well, and running it. I know they hate saying this, you know, quite similar to the soccer season in terms of, you know, if you play well for your club every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks you're selected to play for your county, and then it leads into your county season. And I tried to come up with some method. I remember doing it ages ago as well, but you know, play more games, have home and away games, and you know, in the league, have more home and away, you know, games for your club as well, and try and keep the best players at home. But listen, it's an interesting call in Kildare, and one that, you know, may see new management, you know, coming into the next season as well.
I mean, Jackie, what value, genuinely ask, what would you think now? Would you think Daniel Flynn, Kevin Feely are going to say to themselves, I'm going to hang around here and go, I really want to win a Tailteann Cup medal?
Well, they'll be in big demand, Rory, because they can go wherever they want. You can be absolutely sure their phone is ringing now with plenty of offers for them to go away. The biggest question for them is, do they want to stay and do they want to play? Because, okay, if you take the Meath example, for instance, last year, Colm O'Rourke managed to talk an awful lot of them into staying and into buying into winning the competition. And then they did it. And look at them now. And albeit I know they were beaten at the weekend by Cork, but that's a team going in the right direction who will be playing Sam Maguire football this year. So I don't know if it's Glenn Ryan, if it'll be somebody else, I don't know. But if they can get them to buy into it, like look at the underage success they're having in Kildare. If you're telling me that the platform is not there for them to get back to the top tier, like I genuinely believe it is, but it's up to the county board, to the management, to whatever, to talk these lads into wanting to play for Kildare and staying, because you can be sure if some of the top players go to America, then there is going to be a mass exodus, because why would the rest of them want to stay?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see the value from a Kildare perspective. I think the embarrassment that's going to attach itself to be playing in that competition for a start is going to be big. Westmeath, followed by Meath, followed by Kildare. Is that what the Tailteann Cup was designed to do? I don't know. I'm just not sold on it. And I don't necessarily think some of the Kildare's big players will be either.
Yeah. Well, look, it'll be interesting to see. Can we finish off on the top end of the table? Because I think we've all called it, Ryan, from the start that Donegal, Armagh or Cavan, whichever way that was going to play out, we're going to be promoted. I think Donegal were probably the front running team. Brilliant to see Armagh pulling it off. I think Cavan have given them everything. I know the weekend didn't go in their favour, but I think they were probably the top three teams, and maybe Armagh just about pipped it.
Absolutely. And if you look at the weekend, and again, I was actually looking at both Donegal and Armagh and their squads more than anything else. And I suppose what both have is that real depth that they can compete in Division One as well. You know, I was looking, I think it was Pádraig Mungan from left half back, hit 5 points of the weekend.
Yeah.
Oisin Langan, I think he played midfield for Donegal. And he kicked did he get the goal at the weekend as well, sorry. But I know he kicked at least three points as well. They're both built sides, like Sir Conor Turbutt, Andrew Murnau, I think he played a full forward at the weekend as well. So he's resumed his outfield status as well. And both sides have a serious strength and depth. And to be fair, probably more so Armagh, you know, should be in Division One and have built a squad over the last number of years to compete in that division as well.
221 again at the weekend is massive scoring.
Yeah,
to be fair.
Massive scoring. They're more direct, I think, this year than what they've played over the last seasons as well. Although that can be their downfall at times, where they're very, very keen in kicking the ball. And we've seen in the modern game, you know, if sides play with a lot of numbers back, which they do, you know, you can be exposed and you can counter-attack against them at times. But, you know, Cavan, under new management as well, you know, have been up there. I know they'll be disappointed as well that they aren't in the race, you know, in the last day as well. And again, we're hoping for a favour from a point of view from them. Hopefully my mate will talk to a couple of them as well. From but again, listen, credit to Jim, credit to Kieran McGeaney as well. You know that they have put in, you know, a serious shift. And Division 2 is a hard league to get out of as well. Rory said about Cork, been there for a number of years as well. It's a tough league and you need to start well in each campaign and in Division 2 and try and get out of it. So both sides, listen, obviously face each other in a few weeks' time as well. So I think that's going to be a bit of shadow boxing maybe in the league final. So let's see what way that plays out and we look forward to the championship then.
Will be good. And they haven't conceded a goal, Jackie. Armagh, no goal. They're the only team in all four divisions that haven't conceded a goal. Now, I don't know whether that's because they've got Blaine Hughes back in goal. Who would have thought putting an actual goalkeeper in goal? maybe it could catch on, right? I don't know.
No way. No chance this catches on.
Yeah. But look, I think it's really what they're doing at the other end that's been so impressive. And in an attacking sense, I think, look, Could they contend? They can certainly contend for an Ulster championship because they're on, you know, they're on the opposite side of the draw, as we were saying, to Donegal and Derry, but. And that definitely will be on their radar, given the fact that they went so close last year, lost out in a penalty shootout. I'm sure that'd be something that they'd like to get that box ticked. Are they All-Ireland contenders? Very hard to say, but they will give teams loads of problems because they've got so many different weapons to choose from.
Yeah, they've been great to watch. They really have. Lads, we're going to have to leave it there for the football. Great win for Cork at the weekend. We'll talk about them next week, Rory, I promise, because they're definitely going in the right direction as well.
One point worth making. Brilliant stat there from Gaelic Statsman. He's well worth to give a shout out. Cork have scored 3 goals and 30 points in their last 2 matches and 329 from play. Now, that either tells you one of two things. The teams that they're playing against are unbelievably clean, right? Where you can't buy it free for love nor money, but it's impressive scoring. Sorry, Jackie.
Well, if they keep going that direction, Rory, we'll be talking about them a lot more. All right, Ryan, we'll talk to you soon and we'll talk hurling with Shane McGrath in just a minute.
He hits it. It's over the bar.
All right, Shane is with us to chat hurling. And how was your Paddy's Day weekend, Shane? Very enjoyable, I presume?
Yeah, all good. With the three smallies into Neil Adair, went on the merry-go-rounds, did some carnival games, stuff like that, you know. So, no, it was lovely. No, it was up in Salt Hill there Saturday. Weather wasn't great. But as you see now, lads, with the pitches there as well, it's like everybody tries to remain as positive as you can. I'd be a glass half full person myself, but like it's hard going at the moment with the weather, like, and just with pitches like Salt Hill. Fair play to them that the matches, 2 matches could go ahead, and that, you know, the footballers probably suffered as a result of the hurlers being on first. But like, say Limerick's out of action, Turles out of action. So look, Paddy's weekend is come and gone now, and really, really hoping now, what's that saying? If it's in like a lion, it's out like a mouse. So I hope that is the case, like, because if it's like, you know, the way the pitches are, even take semi-finals, I know we're going to talk about them. Like, everyone is saying, why is it on in Laois, or why is it on Port Laois for the Tip and Clare match? Where is it supposed to be on? Like, you can't play in Limerick at the moment. You can't play in Turles.
You certainly can't go to Cork when Clare are involved, because they're belly aching and whinging that come out of that mob the minute you fix anything for Parky Queeve. So that rules that venue out straight away.
Yeah, and she had a double header under already.
Yeah, a great double header, by the way.
Footballer. Yeah. So look, that's if we get at now from the turn of Paddy's weekend, it's that the weather will start to get better, Jackie, you know, and we can see pitches starting to, you know, get back to their absolute best, like, and it does make for better games, Leslie. It does, like, the
pitches. It does. Yeah. It really does. I mean, Saturday was a slog in Salt Hill. Mm. Like, you did well even getting out of there. For them to actually, you're right, for them to be able to have 2 games there and the quality of games that they had to be able to facilitate that amount of people and all, but it's hard watch. Like, it really is.
Oh,
and
it is.
Even with the All-Ireland champions, Jackie, watching them, even Limerick don't look good in that kind of weather.
And you know what? I felt sorry for the officials there. I know, like, the Shane O'Brien thing and a few more things, but like, say that every time the ball went to ground, like, you know, and like, you know, there'd be the clubs, like leagues around the club scenes now.
Every time the ball went to ground,
it was like rock stuff, like, you know, it's just because of the conditions. And what does that add to then, lads? Well, it adds to more scraps, like, because guys are trying to get over the ball. Lads are so physical now. Like, you're trying to stand over the ball. A guy's coming in from behind you. A guy's coming the other side. They're just pushing each other. You're walking each other.
There's no rules. It's
very hard. It's very hard to referee. Like, you're just asking for lads to get ticked, for frustration to grow across all the courts. And look, I think an improvement in the pitches. Obviously, we'll see less and less of that kind of stuff happening.
And Jackie, who would have thought that the Limerick and Kilkenny hurlers would be the opening act for the Cork footballers on an occasion?
I'd say they will love that. Well, look, what did you learn about Limerick then, Shane? I guess that's probably the biggest thing for the All-Ireland champions. Doesn't really matter how they do it. They seem to be finding a way these days, whether they lose a player, whether whatever the conditions, it just seems, I don't know if they're getting better or everybody else is just not catching them. But what are we learning?
I don't know what we're learning that we didn't already know, Jeff. Yeah. I suppose what I admire most of them about from Saturday's performance in particular is just their mental fortitude. Like, as regards, you know, Decky Hannon's full first game back, plays out the entire game. Like, you know, does that role very, very well in a very physical game. I suppose we've learned that I believe Dunico Dolly was sick during the week, so that's why he didn't feature at the weekend, you know, coming off nearly a man of the match performance against Tipps. So who got their chance there? Shane O'Brien probably got his chance maybe to step up. You know, Shane, you know, what he did was wrong. You know, whether he meant it or not, he probably didn't. I was at the match and we were just over it. Felt like he just kind of went to grab it and maybe grabbed their man. He grabbed the helmet, letter of the law. Well done to the fourth official in particular. Now was very good there, lads. I don't know, you've probably seen that. It was the fourth official brought to the attention of the ref, Thomas Walsh, that he did it. So look, he had to go for that. And maybe Shane O'Brien now, maybe he'll lose out now in the long term as regards, I went to see Limerick play Dublin and Shane had a quiet night that night. You know, he found it hard going that night and then, you know, getting the line there at the weekend. And just with the standard of player that's there, Jackie. So, like, what I've learned that Adam English really, really wants to be on this team. He really, really does. I think just from being players, you know, yourself, lad, in any sport, we all want to be involved, like, you know, and we can say it's lovely, you know, being talking out and everything. But look, let's be totally honest, you have to be stepping on that field of play for the medal to mean that little bit more to you. And I think that's the way it is now for a few of the Limerick lads. While they're still young, Jackie, they've been involved 2, 3, 4 years this stage. So Adam English is one guy for me that at the moment is giving John Kiely no option but to start him in the championship. Like, I mean, he was man of the match the other day, 5 points from play. His work rate is brilliant. He ticks all the boxes for Limerick as regards work rate, honesty, doing the right thing with the ball. And obviously he's getting on the score sheet as well. Like, you know, and down to 14 men, he really stepped up. The other side of the field then, another guy who has said, look, I've enjoyed the last couple of years. I've loved being involved. But now I want to be on the team. And that's Cathal O'Neill. Like, because if Adam English doesn't get man of the match at the weekend, Cathal O'Neill is getting it. Like, in my opinion, there's no doubt about that.
I thought he was very good against Tipperary as well, Shane.
He was brilliant. Like, and he was brilliant against Dublin. Like, 6 shots at goal, 4 points from play. I'd say he's up there with top possessions in the last 3 games since he's went back to the half-back line. He's very comfortable on the ball. And like, let's say whatever does happen, you know, with Kyle and with Kyle Hayes and everything, like if there's an out and out perfect replacement for that type of person, that type of hurler, that type of athlete going forward, like Cathal O'Neill is it and more at the moment. So Jackie, what I've learned is that the competition for their places in their team is probably going to be even more ferocious this year with the likes of Dunico Dolly, Adam English, Cathal O'Neill. Pergal O'Connor has done absolutely nothing wrong, lads. He came off the other day because he got a bang in the head. The Limerick doc stepped in and told him, that's it, your day is done. And he didn't want to come off, but very good call by the Limerick doc. And Shashaun Finn was there as well, you know. And look, that's what I've learned about him. I think that they probably are going to be even, they are going to be stronger this year. There's no point saying that. Dan Morrissey didn't even feature there. And just to win with 14 men, the conditions that was in it. So there's a few positives from Galway, but like, John Kiely, definitely the happier manager after the game. Had to be, like, to come out of it with the draw. They're through to their league semi-final. And, that's... What more can we say about them, I suppose, that we haven't said already? Like, they're just a serious group. Like.
What about Galway then, Rory? Because they're not in a league semi-final, albeit, Shane is right, good positives from the weekend, a good performance. Jackie Tyrrell said last week that he thinks that Henry Shefflin would still be scratching his head with this group, that he's just not quite in the place where he needed to be. Is it nearly better for him to just go away and be doing the work with them away from a league semi-final and just get it done ahead of the championship? Or do you think he would have preferred to be playing in the next couple of weeks?
I think I think definitely fall the tent and disappear. Now, the only thing in Leinster, the nature of the Leinster Championship, given the fact that there's a couple of weaker teams in there, it's not as full on as Munster is when Munster kicks off on what did Dalo describe it as? He said something in relation to it was like Savage Sunday or something like that, where the very first weekend it's Clare Limerick in Ennis and Cork Waterford below Mulch Park. But I think from Galway's perspective, like, they didn't lose the game. They drew a match that maybe they had a chance to win. The conditions definitely had a big factor to play in terms of the quality of the hurling, which I think, look, when it got into the hand-to-hand stuff, I think Galway acquitted themselves quite well. You would have hoped, given a man advantage for as long as they had, that they might have got a win out of it. I think you also have to throw into the mix that, to my mind, their two best players, certainly their two biggest leaders, are Conor Whelan and Dahi Bourke, weren't playing. Yeah. So I think if you add all of that and you add in the sort of spirit, the fight, the heart they showed to stand up to Limerick in many ways, I think there'd be certain aspects that he'll be happy with. Their hurling will probably need to sharpen up, but that will come, as we said, when the pitches and the weather improves. Cup may be lucky to stay with 15 players on the field themselves at times. I think it just goes back to how difficult the game is now to referee in a conventional sense, but I don't think he'd be too displeased with what he saw on Saturday. And I think there was definitely good positives for both managers to take away with a point apiece.
Mm. What do you think, Shane? If he just goes away quietly and does his work with this Galway team, are you still confident that they can be a last four, potentially last two team later in the summer?
Yeah, they potentially can, because, you know, I think you know, everyone knows that themselves and Kilkenny are two best teams in Leinster. So, like, that's, you know, they have that advantage straight away. Like, I don't know, Jackie. I don't know. I just think they're so talented. I just don't know what the missing piece in the puzzle is for them. Like,
Jackie Tyrrell felt the exact same way.
Like, I just think, like, you could say they were missing Conor Whelan and Dahi Bourke. I totally agree with you, Conor, or Rory, in that regard. I don't know. How long can you keep playing that card, though? Because, like, I mean, Limerick were missing Sean Fink, Kyle Hayes, Will McDonough only came on, Darrow Donovan, Garrod Hegarty came on, Peter Casey came on, Dan Morrissey didn't even play. Like everyone's missing someone. I just think...
True.
I don't know what... I don't know what the spine of their team is. I thought Fintan Bourke, okay, so here's a positive for him. Fintan Bourke did a brilliant job in Aaron Gillen. Yeah, he really did. Brilliant. Top class job on him. And I suppose they were afforded the luxury of being able to sit Pádraig Mannion in front of him too. And because of that, then, like, what do you do if you're Aaron Gillen? Like, you are the go-to guy, you're the outball. Pádraig Mannion can put off the space in front of you. Fintan Bourke, an absolute man monster, is there pulling and tearing and dragging out of you. So Aaron Gillen's day, you know, didn't score from play, scored two frees. You know, like, he's coming back into it again, and again, conditions play a factor. But, well, like, Fintan Bourke did very well. So he'll probably be thereabouts, maybe to be their fullback. I think he ticks a lot of the boxes for them. I still don't know who their centre back's going to be. Like, is it going to be Keane and Fahey? Like, will it be Dahi Bourke when he comes back? Will it be Garrod McInerney? Hard to know. Their midfielders, like, Davy Bourke is there, but, you know, Davy has a lot of miles in the clock too. He's coming back from a long club championship, you know, coming back from a serious injury as well. You know, it's hard to ask him, like, to go 70 minutes toe-to-toe inter-county hurling, in my opinion, now. Like, you know, and then who their centre forward's going to be, you know, like, I mean, Tom Monaghan got on the world of ball the other day, but he just couldn't score. Like, he two or three shots, they're dropping short or going wide. I just think that For me personally, I feel getting to the semi-final would have been good for them to try and get 10 or 11 or 12 of their actual team, their top team, together, yeah, playing together against a really good team, because their first round against in Leinster, I believe, is against Carlow.
Mm-hmm.
And that won't be a real test for them. So they won't really know anything about themselves until they go into round two of Leinster. You could do a lot of training over the next 2 weeks, whatever, like, some teams are going to go on maybe a training camps and stuff like that. But I suppose A versus B's will have to be super intense. Try and get challenge matches, maybe off one or two of the Munster teams who are.
Well, I'd say Pat Ryan and Henry Shefflin will be on the phone.
Yeah, but it's hard to fit it in, like, Rory. Like, yeah, you know, I, yeah. Look, I'd say Cork and Galway, they'll play each other again. Just from my own personal experience, like, playing challenge matches, I think challenge matches are done after about 40, 45 minutes. I think you get a good
hand. Very interesting. That's very interesting, Shane, because I sneaked into a challenge match there recently, an intercounty challenge match, right? And they played 3 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that even in club championships nowadays, because it's very hard to keep the intensity up, lads. In your mind as a player, you're going in, it's a challenge.
It's a fake,
right?
You're
still trying to make it, you're still trying to do it. But let's be honest, there's 8 or 9 lads who are on that field, and they'll go, I'm going to play in. You know what I mean? I'll that's it. Like, you know, I'll play this. I'll go hard at it for maybe 20 minutes, half an hour max. But challenge matches always peter off for the last 10, 15 minutes. So that's what I'm saying. That's where I feel a league semi-final would have been better for them. Obviously, they wanted to get there too. You can see that, lads. They were disappointed.
They looked like they wanted to get there.
They did, Jackie. They were deflated after the game. They wanted that to get a result out of that for themselves too. To beat Limerick, to actually beat them, like, as well. That was big for them, more so than any team. So yeah, I still don't know where they're at, and I still they probably, let's be honest, they probably don't know where they're at either, Jackie.
Yeah. It's funny you make that point, because I was reading Eddie Brennan's column in the Indo, and he was saying about playing against Limerick, even for Kilkenny now in a league semi-final, that, you know, it's hard to want to show your full card. But he was making the point that every single time you play Limerick, you should be going out full throttle to try to beat them, because how else are you going to test yourself? For the very reason you've lined out there, Shane, you know, Galway might not have a few weeks. They could run out of time to know, are we there or are we not? Whereas if you're Kilkenny and you're lining up against Limerick now and you're wondering, how close can we get to these lads? What can we do? What can we find out? He's making the case that Kilkenny should be going full throttle at this league semi-final.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Because if you don't go full throttle against Limerick, regardless of who they have or who don't have, they don't have in the field, they've proved to us they have the strength and depth that the rest of us just don't seem to have right now. Mm. You're going to get hammered. And like that's so deflating, like, as well. Like, you know, if you go out and you don't go at it fully and you get an absolute tanking off them,
that's
like
the
human side of it is that the morale is so down the next two nights of training, because you're going, look, we'll give it everything now, and, you know, we'll do well in Leinster, but geez, like, how are we going to live with this crowd? Like, so, yeah. But at least if you come out of it after giving it everything, regardless, if you lose by, you know, kind of a moral victory, I suppose, that's just where it's at with this Limerick team at the moment, like that, you kind of say, right, let's know. We get a bit fitter, we get the pitches get a bit faster, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we could go at this. And once you have that, whether you can or can't do it, I suppose, once the belief is there, training is better, momentum is good, morale is good, the culture in the dressing room is really good, whether lads are thinking about or not thinking about doing that extra gym, if the belief is there, Jackie, like, you know, that's what you can really get out of this league semi-final. If the belief is there with the group that you can do it, you know, I think it makes things a lot easier for everyone. And that's where, like, just quickly now, we're going to move on. Like, you take Alan Connolly there, Rory, right? Alan Connolly has scored 6 goals in the last 2 games, right? Alan Connolly probably could have scored 5 or 6 goals in the last game, okay? But, you know, he's in a great vein of form. But, like, say, a player like Alan Connolly, with all due respect to who he's been marking and who he's been playing in the last 2 games, where does Alan Connolly really, really know where he's at? I think Alan Connolly really, really knows where he's at if he goes out and he marks a Mike Casey, or if he goes out and he marks a kind of a Fintan Burke type player. You know, that's where I feel the league semi-finals are a help to say, I'm back now. I've mixed it with the best there now. Be it a league or not, I can't wait for championship. And I suppose it's a point for players to prove as well, you know, that they are going to be good enough when the pressure does come on. Like.
Yeah. I do think though, Shane, Jackie, I think it was the best result from a Cork perspective over the weekend not to make a league semi-final. I'm not entirely sure what the value of facing Limerick this Saturday would have been from a Cork perspective, knowing that, you know, you're playing them now in a couple of weeks' time. I think the value in it would have been very negligible.
Yeah. Do you think they feel that way, though?
I'd say Pat Ryan was quite happy that the results panned out the way they did. That they beat Wexford, got their 6 points.
Because the reason I ask is because that victory against Wexford is something that Cork hurling needed. You know, they had a few weeks there where people weren't really sure what was the footprint, what was the path, where were they going. Suddenly, Shane is right, Alan Connolly, somebody like him pops up and you go, there's the guy. Okay, now they have something. Now they have somebody else that they can distribute the ball to. And maybe they are just quietly moving in the right direction. And yeah, you're right, getting a trimming off a Limerick might not be a great thing, but I do think maybe the Cork public are buying into this team a little bit more than maybe they were a few weeks ago. That's certainly the sense that I'm getting.
Yeah, and I think, look, in fairness, there was a sense as well that, oh, he's chopping and changing. He's used 34 players, 32 different guys have started matches through the course of the league. Nobody can say that they haven't been given a chance. I think what we saw against Wexford, and I think that probably bore out at halftime when it was, 2-13 to 5 points and the game was effectively over. I think 12 of the 15 that started was the championship team. Certainly 1-9 was championship. Maybe a couple of discrepancies in the half forward line, depending on injuries and Robbie O'Flynn's availability. But I was close enough to Cork's championship 15 and exactly what he has in mind. And yeah, there's a bit of an identity coming. I think from an Alan Connolly's perspective, I think Shane is right. It's the value in those goals is maybe mitigated somewhat in terms of the quality of the opposition. But I think what's encouraging from his point of view is they're all different types of goals. volleys, scrappy ones, rockets, you know, like hard balls over the shoulder, striking off his left, striking off his right. So I think he's shown a good variety in his game, and I think he will pose a problem for most defenders. And he's been a big plus from a Cork perspective. But listen, I think from Cork's perspective, given what happened over the course of this year's league, absolutely perfect. Nice enough run in now to go on down to Walsh Park, and most of the chat will stop now until that match is played.
Yeah, I think that's key, because Shane, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this team potentially playing Division 2 hurling next season. So I think, you know, quietly they have moved in the right direction, and that is maybe why the buy-in is back.
Definitely, yeah. And like they won the matches, I suppose we did expect them to win. Like, you know, we expect them to beat Offaly. They did. We you know, Wexford were down a good few bodies, and like they had the box ticked, you know, before the Cork game, I suppose, in regards that, you know, they'd done what they needed to do, and you know, there's good momentum, and Keith Roster has a good feeling in that dressing room now, and obviously the Wexford people are behind him as well. He's done very well down there, you know, building on the work as well. You know, I building on the work that Dara did last year, lads. You know, I know Dara is, you know, he's a good friend of mine and everything. He, you know, he got on very well with the players. He did a lot, like, and a lot of the players will say that down there as well. Like, he did a lot of right things down there, and Keith has come in, and you know, he's from the place. He knows the culture, you know, even better. Who knows it better than Keith Rossler, what he's done for Wexford? And he's always wears his heart on his sleeve, you know, the way he speaks, the way he hurled. I hurled against him. Top, top guy. So, you know, they're in a great place. But yeah, I think Cork have done what they needed to do. You know, they can play Galway in a challenge match. They can have A versus B. And look, lads, it's what they're going to get judged on, I suppose, is the first round, isn't it? No more so than Watford. Maybe we want to talk about Davy there in a second. Just quickly on the league, lads, right? This is my feeling on it now. I do feel we've got better games in the league this year, right? First of all, I think it's been, they've been more competitive because of that threat of relegation. I think next year again, you know, there will be a threat of going down as well. I'm not sure how many teams will actually go down. I know you've 7 teams in, so you've 2 teams. So that's good as well, Rory, right? So that, you know, makes it a bit more interesting. I suppose for me with the league, right, if there was another tweak to be made, and this is just my own opinion on it, I think, right, could we maybe, to even make it really, really going for a team, you know, and have that bit more time in between for teams, is I would nearly just say, like the Premier League in soccer, if you're top of the league, you're the league champions, okay?
Yeah.
And that's like a league semi-final and a league final. Do you really have to have them?
They got rid of the semi-finals. Semi-finals are gone from next year. I don't think they'll get rid of the final. Certainly not next year anyway, and it won't happen. But one definite tweak that I think you could potentially put in, and you don't need this to be passed in rule, you can basically fly this through to CCC, is I think the team that finishes top should be playing the league final at home.
Yeah, that'd be fair enough. Yeah, that'd and I know good. The argument, Rory, might be like for like say Division 2 or 3 or 4 counties, the in the football and the hurling might be, oh, like, you know, it's a chance to play in Croke Park and all this. Like, really, for the top tier, like Division 1 top tier in football and hurling, they're probably going to play in Croke Park anyway. Like, you know what I mean? They've a lot of them have played in Croke Park. I don't think the Croke Park thing should be the reason you have a league final.
Yeah.
So maybe that might be something as well. As you said, if the semi finals were gone, that's another week extra that teams can have to get championship ready, and that maybe might offer an even more incentive. But like, if you get to a league final, the home advantage, yeah, that'd be a great thing. It's very hard to carry. I was trying to make a point last year. It's very hard to carry an advantage over into the championship, I suppose, with the round robin and with fixtures being made, and, you know, with all the planning that goes with it. Like, that if you won the league, should you get an extra home game in the round robin of the championship? I suppose that's easier said than done with all the logistics involved in it. But I definitely think that semi-finals gone next year, you know, okay, play a league final, and, you know, let the advantage be that you have the league final at home. That would be good.
But, if you finished number one and you finished top of the league, then the league final, let's say Kilkenny finished top, the league final is in Nolan Park.
Yeah,
I think it's a great boost for the county board as well.
Yeah, I think, yeah, the county board would definitely be buying into that one. Yeah.
So what people are looking for, Jackie, is just a little bit more time between that window between league and championship. And I think taking away the semi-finals, I think like that'll help next year. And, you know, maybe the idea of just whoever finishes top, that they are the league champions. Like,
totally.
So,
yeah. Listen, you'll have full support. And we were chatting about this on the football pod earlier as well. And even just the extra week of pushing into better weather, all of that, the knock-on effect is massive. So let's get back to matters on the pitch then. You mentioned Davy. You do kind of wonder where to now for Waterford, Shane. Another defeat at the weekend. They're obviously already relegated. They're facing a championship in a couple of weeks' time. And it has to be a very fast repair job now that he does. So what's his biggest area of concern?
I don't know, Jackie.
Did they go to Portugal yesterday, Shane?
I don't know.
I think they're going to Portugal. Yeah.
I wasn't talking to any of them, but I just feel like, say, like, you know, every team is missing someone. Like, you know, no one's been at full tilt yet. So, you, everyone could say we're missing this guy, missing that guy. We're missing a few guys. Now they are getting them back slowly but surely, and they are getting back to full strength. But I just think. Look, Les, I put it like this, right? I've been a player in a dressing room where David Fitz is the manager, okay? And when you're in that environment, whatever you feel has been said, you will buy it, you will buy into it, and you will believe it. I did myself, and it was Fitzgibbon hurling with LIT, and you know,
like, was Joe Canning on that team?
Well, we actually had a ridiculous team, Rory.
Hang on a second here.
O'Kelly left, we thought this is the end of the world. O'Kelly tipped, like, we thought, no, we're never going to get someone to replace Owen. And suddenly this young lad from Port Tumna arrives at the door of LIT. We're like, we might be okay, lads. We might be okay. But we all believed whatever Davey was saying, and we bought into it. We always felt, albeit Fitzgibbon is a completely different, you know, dynamic to their county hurling. It's shorter, and you know, you're not trained as much because lads are there. But when you were there, you believed it, right? I do believe that the Waterford players are, for the majority, are believing in what's going on down there, right? With the tactics and the way they're setting up. It's just the rest of us just don't seem to get it. That's from the outside. That's what I feel. That's the way I feel Waterford people feel about it. A lot of Waterford hurling people feel about it. I don't, like, maybe they know what they're doing, and maybe it's all going to come right. It's just very hard for us to see it, Jackie. Like, look at some of the goals they've leaked, where there hasn't been a defender inside the 50-yard line, because they're all pushing up the field for the puck out support. It's kind of a head scratching when you see some of their top forwards, their top inside forwards, but the majority of the ball they get on is out around midfield or in their own half-back line. So those are two things. Like, I mean, the way they're going to set up, again, like, no more so than Galway, who's going to be Waterford's full-back? Who's going to be their centre-back? Who's going to be their centre-forward? Who's going to be their full-forward? I don't know. Like, unless Stephen Bennett comes back fully right from injury, he'll be full-forward. I couldn't tell you who the centre-forward will be. Will it be Jack Prendergast? Will it be Padraig Fitzgerald? Will it be... You know, will it be Neil Montgomery? Will it be Desi Hutchison? I don't know. And I think that's what they need to find out over the next few weeks, Jackie, is what's our team going to be? Who do we have available? Like, are we going to stick with this system? Do we trust the system? So that's like, you know, I mean, they have a lot of big leaders in that dressing room, you know, no more so than like Jamie Barron. He's come back. He's really stood up since he came back from his injury. You know, he's top player. You know, are the likes of him going to, like, maybe say, look, I don't think this system suits us. Like, it hasn't suited them till now, you know. And, like, let's be honest, the records are there. Like, I mean, is it 10 league games that Davey has been manager? Have they won, is it one or two of them against much lower opposition now? They're not talking about top level Lee McCarthy teams. They won their one championship game last year, but they were out of the competition by the time they played that game.
Yeah.
Against Tip were very, very poor that day. You know, they looked very leggy or whatever it was. Just they didn't look right, but they're going to be judged by the Cork game, obviously, and maybe the whole thing is coming together. But at the moment, for Jackie and Rory, I don't know if you agree. I think it's going to take one of his greatest managerial feats to try and get the whole thing together and get performances and get out of the Munster Championship. Because I don't know, I can't see it. I can't see it personally. You know, they have their stadium now. They have Walsh Park. They can play their home games there. It needs to be a fortress. It wasn't in the league, Jackie. I was down there a couple of times. The crowd is very, very small down there. And, you know, it could be handy enough, Rory, for Cork people to get tickets for the game in Walsh Park. You know, the Waterford public
aren't
buying into it at the moment.
That's a worry, isn't it? It is unusual to see, because they do love hurling. It's a massive hurling city. they just seem to be disengaged with the inter-county team at the minute for some reason. From what I'm hearing, Waterford United in soccer are getting bigger crowds at the moment.
Yeah, look, I
who
I
wants
don't
to watch League of Ireland do.
Like, I mean, look, if they come out and produce a performance against Cork and beat Cork,
that's the thing, though, Shane. You know what? If they pull off one performance there, then everybody buys into it. Like, you're right, because there's no better man than Davey to be the Pied Piper than to bring them on this journey and show them. Everybody else said we got it wrong, but look at us, we're winning here. One result can literally change their whole season here, because we have been waiting for this revival, and we've been told they have the players, we've been told they have the belief. But you're right, if we don't see it soon, I do think it's going to become difficult for the Waterford public to buy into it.
Jackie, he will have them believe in that. You know, he will galvanize them. He will galvanize the group. He'll say that the world is against them. You know what I mean? He will. I know from my own experience. Jeez, we thought every college in Ireland absolutely hated LIT for a finish. You know,
they did, to be fair, at that time. Yeah.
We were like, oh, God, why do this crowd? Why do Belfast hate us? I mean,
what did we ever do to Belfast?
You know, but like, that's his effect. And kudos to him for it. He will have him believing that they're all in this together and it's against everyone else. And maybe that'll help him get to performance. But I just can't see it at the moment. Like, I can't see it. Not because of the belief thing or anything, but maybe just the personnel aren't there right now to try and carry out what he wants to do with the group. And if they don't get out of Waterford, Jackie, or sorry, if they don't get out of Munster, if Waterford don't get out of Munster, you know, realistically, there will be changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Understandable. Okay, last one to finish off on then. Your own tip into a semi-final. Nice and quietly, very casually. I think, you know, tip fans will be glad. There'll be blood and thunder against Clare, though, because I do think this is the perfect match for both of those teams. And I know, look, we'll get more chances to look ahead to this game in more detail, but I think for both of them to be there to have a good rattle off each other ahead of the Munster Championship, maybe not a bad place for either team to be in, Shane.
No, definitely not. Definitely not for tip. They got the job done. I suppose they were probably maybe the happiest in a way with the draw, like in Salt Hill, because they knew what they had to do then. It was just very, very clear. Like, there was no score difference or anything needed. They just win the game, and they did. They won the game. The conditions again weren't great. You know, Jake Morris is in good form, popping up with a couple of goals. Jason is really finding form, you know, since he's been reintroduced into the league. Big negative for us, I suppose. We've lost Shane McKendy. You know, he roughed his ACL. As I said, someone over the weekend, I suppose before, it would have been a career-ending injury, Jackie, and suppose now maybe 6 to 9 months.
That's the season over anyway.
You know, but he's probably done now as regards his club season maybe as well, you know. Like, you talk about quiet leaders, like Shane McKendy is the definition of that in the tip dressing room as regards. Shane mightn't say it too much. He was a young guy. When I was coming towards the end of Shane, he was coming in. He used to give him lifts in and out there from Limerick for training. You know, he mightn't say it too much, but just such a nice guy such a nice guy off the field. And he's a gentleman. I've never heard a bad word said about him, and I've only heard positive said about him from lads who play with him, both at club, county, college level. He does his talking, I suppose, Jackie, on the field. Like, Shamey has played wing back, two All-Ireland finals, 2016, 2019. He was absolutely brilliant in both of them. And I think that's a measure of the kind of player that you are. Like, when you can step up when it's needed most. Shamey has done it, popped over 2 points in those 2 finals as well, you know. So, you know, what a guy he is. So he's a massive loss, Jackie. But look, Tip are coming into it, I suppose, like, are Clare favourites? Yeah, they probably are, like, you know, and rightly so. You know, they have a serious panel as well. In my opinion, they have the second strongest panel in Ireland at the moment. And I just feel that all those guys are going to start coming back onto the pitch now. A lot of them, like, I'd say nearly all of them got arrested against Offaly. They still got the job done against Offaly, but, like, you know, you didn't see the likes of Dave Fitzgerald or these guys even talking out for that game. So that's where I feel that Brian Lohan will go at it hard. And I just think Tip, what's the positive for Tip to get over? I suppose a really good performance and try and get, as I said, as close to Championship 15 as you can out in the field, because this is the test. Like, you know, as I said, A versus B challenge games, they're fine. This is what you want. Port Leash. Should be a good crowd at it, you know, should be a good atmosphere there. And I think, as you said, they'll both go at it strong. Tip are not out the first week in Munster,
right,
as well. They have an extra week as well.
That's key.
That's there as well to say, we can really, really go at this. You know, Clare's first game is against Limerick. you know, if they got to a league final, it'd be in 2 weeks' time. Chances are it could be Clare and Limerick. It could be, I don't know what you'd call it, a league final. Like if Clare and Limerick are in it, lads, and they're playing each other in 2 weeks after that, that could be a drawback, I suppose. So, you know, I suppose
hurling. Would you nearly be better off in that scenario putting the two onto the one, Shane?
Well, you'd love it, but there's no way
they did it before, didn't they? Yeah. Where they paired a league final, like I remember
with a first round championship,
You put I suppose, look, a league final is meant to be a neutral venue. Obviously, championship matches in Ennis. Yeah.
Look, and the J would want to lose the money for a league final, whoever will go or, you know, whatever go with it. But so I think hurling people are kind of hoping in a way maybe that Tip would win and maybe Kilkenny would win. And, you know, you could have a right league final because, you know, realistically, if it was a Tip Kilkenny league
look
final.
Look at you here now trying to corral the hurling public into cheering for Tip. It won't happen here.
Yeah, so look, whether that happens or not. But look, you know, I think the positive for Tip would be is that they're there and that they can, you know, Liam Cahill can say to, you know, he'll probably know 9 or 10, maybe even 11 of his guys is going to be playing in the first round championship. Well, you can maybe say to three or four of them now to say, I'm giving you a chance now, and this is the closest you're going to get to championship. And if you really, really want to play, you're gonna have to perform. And it's a pressure, but you know what? It's a privilege in another way as well to be in that position for a lot of them. So, yeah, I think Tip are in an okay position, Jackie. And I think we've a good panel, good competition of places. And as you said, coming into a game where, you know, Clare will be favourites to win the game. So I'm looking forward to now.
Oh, he's picking up Clare.
Oh,
if we're going to go down that road, then it must be instructive, Jackie, that the three teams that came out of Munster last year are the three teams from Munster that are in the league semi-finals and are surely the three teams in the box seat to come to Munster again this year. So
that's a given.
We may as well not have the Munster Championship.
Exactly. Well played, boys. You have done your bit for your county. We'll have to leave it there. But look, thoroughly enjoyed it again this morning. It's been a great weekend, albeit a huge sporting weekend with plenty else on. But Shane, really enjoyed it and have a great week.
Cheers, lads.
There's the whistle, it's over! It's over!